Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into Tertia Times, the podcast. We're back with another edition of Last Minute Thoughts, where we talk about injuries and matchups and everything you need to know ahead of the Rams Week 3 matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Lots of injuries, lots of roster transactions. Luckily, we have one of the best writers of Tertia Times here with me this weekend to talk about all the things we have to cover, and that's Blaine Grisak. So, Blaine, welcome. How are you feeling after that win against the Falcons and heading to Week 3 against the Cardinals?
Hey, JB. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it. Happy to join the show again this week, especially for this huge matchup, Rams-Cardinals. It kind of, the last few years now, it kind of feels like whenever these two teams play, it's a big game. And, you know, after last week's game against the Falcons, I certainly feel a lot better moving into this game than if the Rams had played the Cardinals right after the Bills game. So hopefully they can build on what they did last week.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. And let's, you know, put some final thoughts on that Falcons game. You know, it was really a tale of two halves, right? In the first half, you know, Matthew Stafford almost couldn't even throw an incomplete pass. And then in the second half, you know, the defense really couldn't get stops. The offense kept turning the football over. Even Cooper Kupp, who, you know, that's a pretty rare occurrence for him. So what's your takeaways from the Falcons game? Are the Rams more the team of the first half, or do you think they're more the team of the second half? And what's the outlook for the rest of the year for this team?
Yeah, I think that it was – you would hope it would be more that they would be more of the team that showed up in the first half. You know, the defense was playing really well, pretty much locked down outside of the, you know, they had that the Falcons had that field goal drive, and then, you know, the defense had that huge stop on fourth down that took away an opportunity for the Falcons to go down and get points. So the defense was looking really well there in the first half, and then Stafford was, I mean, technically he was 13 for 13. Just that 13th pass went to a Falcons player. So yeah, 12 for 12 to start the game. They looked really well. You know, they brought out this new package with Ben Skronik at fullback, which was just absolutely insane. Like when I saw that, I was just like, what is happening here? You know? And that really ended up kind of being the difference. They moved the ball, I think, three times more effectively via EPA when they were in that package. So we'll see if they kind of, you know, last year when they played the Cardinals late in the year, they were kind of coming off of no-win November when and then they played the Jaguars, kind of got their feet back underneath them, and then came into that Cardinals game. And kind of implemented some of those same six offensive line looks against the Cardinals. So we'll see if they kind of do the same this week with Skronik at fullback.
Yeah, and we'll get into details of how we might see Ben Skronik at fullback against the Cardinals. You know, I've been saying for the better part of 2 years that ever since Les Snead mentioned, I think, in the post-draft press conference that Skronik is capable of playing in the backfield, that, you know, I've been repeating that line, and it's good to finally see it come to fruition because, you know, I feel like I've been losing my mind a little bit by saying that, so... it's good to see it actually happen. So I think, you know, we've seen about six bad quarters from the Rams to start the season. And if someone says they look more like a 500 team at this point, you know, just as many wins as many losses, I'm not really sure I could disagree with them with what we've seen. But also, if your takeaways that the Rams, you know, had no chance of beating the Bills, who's playing at their peak right now, and they won the game against the Falcons, and they're in the process of returning to form, I couldn't disagree with that either. So just a small sample size. We'll see what this team is moving forward. But the Rams did make a flurry of roster moves this week. I think it shows that they're not content with the start of the season and being 1-1. So let's kind of get into those and we can get your thoughts. On the offensive line specifically, the Rams promote Ode Abushi from the practice squad to the active roster. They also bring in veteran Matt Skura at center. But going out the door is offensive guard Tremaine Ancrum, who's out for the year, A.J. Jackson replaced him at right guard against the Falcons. So, and the Rams also bring in two familiar faces. That's running back Malcolm Brown and tight end Kendall Blanton. Blanton was on the Chiefs practice squad. But you lose Bryson Hopkins for three games because of a suspension. So there's no Brian Allen. There's no Van Jefferson still at this point. They may be on their way to returning in the next couple of weeks, but really that's the way the offense is shaken out right now. So, Blaine, any overall thoughts on those offensive moves?
I really like the Odeyabushi move. I think he's going to be some great depth at guard. And honestly, over the last 2 weeks, it just kind of, I think, reiterates my concern about, like, why did Bobby Evans make this initial 53-man roster? Because, you know, last week they start Tremaine Ankrum at right guard, and then he goes down. And they don't put Evans in there. They put in A.J. Jackson there at right guard, and then they go out and they sign Abushi and promote him to the active roster. So it's just it reiterates my concern there. But I love Abushi. I think, you know, he has 300 career snaps. He had 300 snaps last year with the Chargers. Only allowed 5 pressures in those 300 snaps. So he'll be good depth. Same with Matt Skura. He had a rough year with the Giants last year, but what offensive lineman didn't have a rough year last year with the Giants? So I think the Rams really needed some center depth with Brian Allen going down because, quite honestly, Cole Michel is probably the only center on the roster otherwise. So some really good depth moves that if something were to happen, some players that you could have, I think, at least a little bit of confidence in.
Sure. And the Rams do have Jeremiah Colon, who's the third string center. But, of course, he was relegated to third team all the way through training camp. Shelton was with the two. So it seems like they're sticking with their plan for now, and that's perfectly fine. But we'll see how it shakes out when Brian Allen comes back here in a couple weeks. But how much do you think Malcolm Brown has left in the tank? I mean, he came in to the Rams similar around the same time as Todd Gurley, right? And, you know, Gurley's been out of the league for a couple of years now. Do you think, you know, is Malcolm Brown here for pass protection, veteran leadership, or do you think he can, you know, the Rams can actually hand him the football and get some production out of him?
It was nice to see Malcolm Brown come back. It was nice to see that show up on the Twitter feed. It didn't really, like, excite me one way or another. Like, I think he is more of just a depth move. We've seen this running back group just not really be able to stay healthy. Henderson has his history, obviously, just, you know, one game where he gets 15 plus carries, and it seems like he has a hamstring injury that he's dealing with for 2-3 weeks. And obviously Cam Akers is coming off the Achilles injury and just hasn't looked like his full self that we saw at the end of the 2020 season. So at the very least, Malcolm Brown is a good depth piece to put in if an injury were to happen, because I think Jake Funk is a pretty good special teams player. He's not necessarily somebody I would like to see carry the ball 10 plus times a game, but I think Malcolm Brown is someone that if you need him, he's someone that has familiarity in the scheme and can certainly handle the load if needed.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on Jake Funk, and I think the Rams even might agree with you where they feel Funk is more of a special teams player. They don't necessarily want to see him on the offense at the running back position. So if one of Akers or Henderson goes down, you're going to be glad you have someone who knows the offense like Malcolm Brown. So timing signing, I'm not sure the Rams are quite done at that position if the right person becomes available, but time will tell, right? And believe it or not, that's just the transaction of the offense. So then if we move to the other side of the football, the Rams are without Troy Hill for the next 4 weeks or so. He's on IR. David Long Jr. and Kobe Durant, the other corners, are also out just for this game. So the Rams bring in some depth at corner with Sean Jolly. They also bring in some maybe pass rushing help with Tack McKinley, who Marheem Morris knew from his time in Atlanta with the Falcons. And also, you know, questionable, so 50-50 chance of playing, is safety Jordan Fuller. So the next men up in that secondary, Robert Rochelle and rookie Darion Kendrick. It's, you know, the Rams are really thin in the secondary, it seems. You know, Kendrick has been inactive for the first two games. He's going to get his first chance to play. Robert Rochelle, a promising second-year player, very, very large frame. He's really athletic, but, you know, he injured at times his rookie season, so we haven't really seen him on the field for extended amounts of time. What do you think, Blaine? Can the secondary hold up against Kyler Murray? Really, it's a if you want to win the card, if you want to beat the Cardinals, you really got to, it goes through beating Kyler Murray and slowing him down, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, looking at those moves, I love that they brought in Sean Jolly. It's really like just kind of doing some research on him this week. It's really no surprise that they had interest in him as an undrafted free agent. And I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't brought in before training camp. You know, he's a perfect fit, smaller cornerback, good ball skills, just kind of that player that they kind of look for there. But as far as these other guys and how they're going to hold up, it's certainly, I think, the big question mark there, and it's very reminiscent of the of what week 14 was like last year. You know, you had Kareem Orr starting at cornerback, which is ideally you don't want Kareem Orr starting at cornerback. You know, I think we'll get into a little bit later, but I think it's going to be the best way to help out a young inexperienced secondary is with a good pass rush, and you're going to need guys like Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald, Greg Gaines, Justin Hollins to really step up and put some pressure on Murray.
Yeah, and Orr was released in the very early days of training camp, maybe even before training camp this year. So that really shows how the Rams felt about the players that are putting on the field against the Cardinals that day last year. So when half the team had COVID, right? So, and then on the Cardinals front, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first six games of the season, so he's not going to be playing Sunday. Rondale Moore has not yet made his debut in 2022 with a hamstring injury. He remains out. And then running back James Conner, he's listed as questionable, but if I had to guess, I think he's playing. So Greg Dortch has been the leading receiver for the Cardinals. They also have Marquise Hollywood Brown that they've traded for during the draft, give up a first-rounder for, but you know, the production's pretty similar out of those two. We'll get into matchups later, so I don't think we need to get into it. But I think now we just move to the Rams offense. And Blaine, you wrote one of the best pieces on Turf Show Times this entire week about how the Rams are deploying Ben Skronik at fullback. Offensive coordinator Liam Cohen talked about how it's really going to be, you know, a matchup-based situation with how they deploy that. If they think they can get good looks against certain defenses, they're going to put Skronik in the backfield. But how do you think, is that just coaches talk and he's trying to, you know, be coy a little bit with how they use Skronik, or how do you see the Rams leveraging, you know, their second year wide receiver moving forward?
Yeah, I absolutely loved him in this role. You know, he is a bigger wide receiver. If he puts on, like, coming out of the draft, a lot of people thought that coming out, like, if he put on weight, he could be a tight end. That's just his size profile. So to see him come out as a fullback was just really cool, and see him get down and dirty inside the tackles and stuff was really fun to watch. And this week, it'll be interesting to see what the Rams add on to that. You know, this is a package that's now been on film. It's still a small sample size of only one game, but nonetheless, it's not going to necessarily surprise the Cardinals like it did the Falcons, just because the Falcons hadn't ever seen it before, and the Cardinals at least have one game of film. And I'd love to see it more. The Rams utilized it a lot in the play action game and in the run game, but I'd love to see Skronik get more involved as a pass catcher in that. In that package, just because, especially this week, the Arizona Cardinals linebackers have really struggled in coverage this year. Nick Vigil has allowed, I think, the seventh most receptions, if I remember correctly, among linebackers. Isaiah Simmons, I think, ranked second in average yards per catch in coverage. So these are some linebackers that can be exploited, and you can really, I think, put Ben Skronik on one of these linebackers in coverage in this particular package. So I'm interested to see if the Rams do build on what they did last week with Ben Skronik.
Yeah, and the Cardinals have spent premium draft capital at linebacker on Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons. So they really have not got a return on that investment that they were probably hoping for. It's really interesting. So, and Simmons, he has a hard time even staying on the field. It's just, I don't think the Cardinals have a plan with how they want to deploy him. But I think over the years, you've seen this Cardinals defense kind of deteriorate, in my opinion. It's something, you know, we talk about pretty often, where you had Chandler Jones and Hassan Reddick, two of the better pass rushers in the NFL. And then last season, you went out and added J.J. Watt, an expensive player who may be a bigger name than what the level of production you're going to get out of him at this point. And, you know, the subsequent year, Jones and Reddick, you know, they're both gone now. So this pass rush from this Cardinals. I'm not too scared of them. I think it's more on the Falcons level than the Bills, of course. So it's probably a pretty easy statement to make. But Matthew Stafford's going to have time to sit in the pocket. And the secondary, I think it's fair to have concerns about too. This might be shaping up to be an opportunity to push the ball down the field and really see a Rams offense that we haven't seen so far in 2022. Blaine, any thoughts on other matchups on offense? What do you think about this Cardinals secondary maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Byron Murphy's playing really well. I am excited to see the Cooper Kupp versus Byron Murphy matchup. That could be a lot of fun. One player on offense I'm really looking forward to seeing is Tyler Higbee. Last week he had his the most receptions in a game since that just incredible stretch that he had at the end of 2019. And in that stretch, he had two very good games against the Arizona Cardinals. So, and he's also the Rams second leading receiver right now, right behind Cooper Kupp. So I would love to see, like I just got done saying with the linebackers, maybe getting Higbee on a matchup with a linebacker and exploiting that. And like you said, you know, I would also love to see the Rams maybe try to stretch the field a little bit. We haven't seen that, and I think that's a lot to do with Van Jefferson being out, just because he is that field stretcher. They clearly don't have a lot of confidence in Tutu Atwell, unfortunately, and he would take that role. And I'm really, as much as, you know, Ben Skronik played last week and played well last week and gave us some hope for what his future could hold. He's not someone that they've tried going down the field to him on some vertical routes in the past, and I'm really not a fan of that. So we'll see if that is something maybe they try to do this week. Maybe try to get Allen Robinson going deep down the field, just to exploit those Cardinal safeties and the side opposite to Byron Murphy.
Yeah, and Murphy's one of those corners. He just doesn't get enough credit for what he does. And if you flash back a year ago about this time, the Rams played the Cardinals in week four. We're in week three this year. And Cooper Kupp was targeted 15 times and only managed about five catches. So that's a 33% completion percentage. That's just not a mark we're used to seeing from the reliable Cooper Kupp. And he had his lowest yardage production from the entire 2021 season against the Cardinals in that game with 64 yards. So, you know, for some receivers, 64 yards, not a bad day. For Cooper Kupp, it's his worst day he's had in 2 years. So, definitely Byron Murphy is a force to be reckoned with. And he played a big part in shutting down Davante Adams against the Las Vegas Raiders last week too. So he's the other players in the secondary might be more of a concern, but Murphy, he's going to be solid and he's going to be someone to watch out for, certainly. So let's talk about the Rams when they're on defense. And it all starts with Kyler Murray, right? And against the Raiders, they struggled through three quarters, but he came alive whenever he just was able to run around and play kind of backyard football a little bit off script, and he just made things happen. But he's throwing to Greg Dortch, and he's throwing to Marquise Hollywood Brown. So does he have the weapons to get this done, you think, against, you know, a Rams defense that maybe they're not as good as last year, but they're still a formidable unit, right?
Yeah, it is kind of interesting watching the Cardinals offense. You know, they really struggled against the Chiefs, and then they were struggling through three quarters last week against the Raiders. It just kind of seems like the Cardinals' most successful form of offense is Kyler go do something. Like that's when they're the most successful. So the Rams defense has to be able to contain him, and it's not just about not allowing him to get out and make plays with his legs. You know, the Raiders didn't allow him to do that last week. I think he only had five carries for like 28 yards. So it was more about just the it's getting a pass rush on him and not letting him sit in the pocket for 20 plus seconds like the Raiders did on the 2-point conversion last week. They can't just let him sit back there and play backyard football. It can't happen, because if they do, it's going to be some bad things are going to happen. And as far as those receivers, though, I think the strengths of the Cardinals wide receivers are kind of where the weaknesses are for the Rams defensive backs, at least of what we've seen so far. I love Greg Dortch, former Rams wide receiver, finding some success with the Cardinals. But these guys, Hollywood Brown is known for getting vertical down the field, and that's kind of where Dortch excels too. He's a speedy wide receiver. These guys can stretch the defense, and we've seen in week one against the Bills, you know, we saw Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis get behind the Rams defense. Last week, we saw the Falcons have that same sort of success. We had you had the penalties on on Jalen Ramsey and David Long deep down the field. So the Rams are going to have to I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals do test Rams vertically, and the Rams' defensive backs are going to have to be ready for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm putting our bold predictions article this week that Greg Dortch, he's going to double his production on his career this year. I think it's 134 yards, something like that. So pretty easy to do against a Rams secondary. Marquise Hollywood Brown, he hasn't really made those explosive plays yet this year, but he's certainly capable of it from his time in Baltimore. So he's probably the more dangerous player. You limit him, and whatever Greg Dortch gets done, I think you just you don't pay as much attention to him, and he's not going to beat you overall. So he was on the Rams practice squad back in 2019, interestingly enough. But, yeah, so I think – I wonder how much Kyler Murray can just run around whenever you have Aaron Donald, the opposing team, versus someone like, I don't know, Andrew Billings for the Raiders last week. You know, Donald's just as good an athlete as Murray, even though he's one of the quickest passers in the NFL. So as soon as he gets guys in his face, he just kind of makes a quick twitch move to get away from him, and he's out of the pocket, right? So Donald is just as good an athlete. Leonard Floyd is going to be an important part. He's an elite-level athlete, you know, a top 10 draft pick in his day too. So I just wonder how effective that is for Murray, and if the Rams can really force him to make throws in the middle of the field. It's really tough on the shorter quarterback. So one thing I'm watching on defense also is Ernest Jones and Bobby Wagner have been targeted 10 times in pass coverage. They've allowed 100% of those for completions. So I really want to see them get hands-on passes and really force incompletions. But something I think that we can monitor moving forward, Wagner obviously gave up a lot of completions in Seattle. I think part of that can just be blamed on a prehistoric defensive scheme too, as maybe a little bit of decline as well. But time will tell, and that's what we always say. But you think the Rams come on top of this game, Blaine?
I certainly hope so. And I do think they end up coming out on top. I don't think the Rams defense, like you just said, I think it's one thing, against the Raiders for Kyler Murray to sit back 20 plus seconds in the pocket and be able to make plays. That's not going to happen with Aaron Donald on the other side of the field at all. Or Leonard Floyd for that matter. And when Kyler Murray hasn't been able to do that stuff, they've struggled. We've seen in the past just how much this Cardinals offense struggles without DeAndre Hopkins, and they certainly miss him through the first 2 weeks of season. AJ Green is on the decline. Hollywood Brown and Murray are still kind of figuring out their chemistry, and then they really just have Greg Dortch otherwise. And like you said, he's not going to beat you. So if the Rams defense can stay disciplined. I don't necessarily see a blowout like we saw in the NFC wildcard game last year, but I see something maybe a little more similar to the week 14 game.
Well said. And, I was a little tough on Matthew Stafford this week. You might've seen just like, the rest of the internet took a little bit of flack, but I really think he's in for a big game this week against the Cardinals. So 5 interceptions to start the season. That's a little abnormal for him. I think he's going to play mistake-free football. He's going to push the ball down the field and reinstate a downfield element into this offense that we haven't seen all year. I think it's going to be a big game for the Rams offense. I think they're going to take over, and whatever you can do to limit Murray, and if we see a second half comeback again, like what Murray pulled off against the Raiders and what Marcus Mariota and the Falcons almost pulled off over the Rams, I don't know that my heart's in good enough shape to handle it, but to be determined, right? So I do want to touch a little bit on the NFC West standings. Do you think the 49ers are still formidable without Trey Lance? Maybe even more formidable?
Yeah, I actually like them a lot more with Jimmy G than with Trey Lance. That offense was kind of struggling a little bit for the first game, and they hadn't started putting up points yet. Last week until Jimmy G really came in. If Lance hadn't gotten hurt, I could have seen them kind of get better as the season got on later in the year. But what you're going to get out of Jimmy G. He's going to attack the middle of the field like other quarterbacks won't. That's where he excels. They may not get that upside that they would have gotten with Lance later in the year, but what you're getting out of Jimmy Garoppolo. There's probably not a better backup quarterback in the league, honestly. It kind of makes their decision not to trade him show really well that they made the right choice there keeping him, despite some criticism that keeping two quarterbacks, especially a guy like Jimmy G who had so much success, was a bad move, and it ended up being the right one. So I actually like them a lot more with Jimmy G moving forward this year.
Yeah, well said, and I agree with that. The 49ers just have such a low floor when they're able to play ball control and control the ground game. And, you know, Garoppolo is so dependable and so consistent. Sometimes he's going to throw you the football, if the opposing defense at least, and he's going to make head-scratching mistakes. But that's just what he is as a player. But 90% of the time, he's going to be good for you. And, you know, against a team like the Rams, that they want to give you all these different looks on offense and they want to get things going. And really, the 49ers just limit your opportunities to do that. And they're going to really control the clock and give you less possessions and less opportunities to, you know, be versatile on offense. So the 49ers get the Broncos on Sunday night, and then they host the Rams on Monday Night Football next week. So two straight primetime games for San Francisco. The Seahawks play the Falcons. They're kind of shaping up to be more of a team that, you know, struggling, probably in contention for a high draft pick, and they can obtain a quarterback next year. But, you know, they got a fluke victory over their former quarterback in an emotional game. Blaine, are you almost ready to put a fork in the Seahawks, or do you think they're still kicking?
I think they're still kicking. I don't think this team is just going to go away with Pete Carroll head coach. You know, I think a lot of people do want to put him in that top five pick contention, and maybe they do end up there. But I think they're going to be a team that they're going to fight every single game. And I think that's going to result in more wins than maybe they would. Then Schneider would like at GM just because I'm sure Schneider would love a top five pick to be in contention for a top quarterback next year. But yeah, I mean, we've seen Pete Carroll have success with Charlie Whitehurst at quarterback. You know, he's in Tavares Jackson. He's going to put out a competitive team on the field, and that's going to result in some wins.
Sounds good. Well, you know, things are really getting a feel for how this NFC West could shake out. And this Rams-Cardinals game is probably the first major contest in that regard. So, and you got the 49ers next week. So, really in the heat of this big and ultra-important divisional stretch. And it's going to be so significant for the Rams to get a victory on Sunday afternoon if they can. So, Blaine, where can everyone find you on social media? And any posts you have coming out after the game?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at @BGreesackDTR. After the game, I'll have three plays that changed the game. I look at the three plays that had the biggest impact on the result. And again, thanks for having me on. And hopefully we are here next week with a Rams win over the Cardinals.
Of course, and you can subscribe to the Turf Show Times, the podcast, through any podcast app, whichever one you use. There's so many, but. You can also find our articles posted on the website where we link to the podcast too. So make sure you subscribe so you can get the instant reaction after the game. Then Kenneth and I do a midweek podcast and are here with you 24 hours for every game. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.